We've all going through some things right now. It looks like everywhere we look, on every hand, there's sickness. We don't want to get too depressing, but things are really looking pretty bleak for a lot of people right now. They're going through some really hard times, you know. It's very difficult when you are going through difficult times and it seems like other people are just excelling. It's almost like they're not having any effect of what's going on around them. They're just above those things. It's really easy to get discouraged. You're a Christian and you're following the Lord and you're asking Him to lead you and guide you, and you look at others and sometimes they're living very destructive lives. You know, they're living very sinfully and they're partying it up and they're doing all the wrong things. And it seems like every time you look around, it's like they're just getting away with it. And there's a scripture, there's actually a book in the Bible in Malachi that talks about that. And we might read that too. I'll let Sister Sally get up there and see if she can look it up. It's in the back of, I was going to read St. John, but I felt like we need to read that because it's what happens when we walk for the Lord. It's really easy to get discouraged. And it seems like, you know, this is some trying times for a lot of people. But aren't you glad we know who our Redeemer is? Jesus says, right? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will go with you all the way, even to the end. And even then, how many of you know He's going to be standing there for us? Amen. So we have a wonderful hope. We have a hope that the people in the world don't have that hope when they don't know Jesus. They don't know Him as their personal Savior. Let me see if I can pull this. I think it's Malachi. It says, here, let me see if I can pull it up. Here you go. It's Malachi 3:13. Let's just read that thought. That thought came to me when I was sitting right there. This thought of feeling despair when everyone else is going through and it seemed like people are just skating by. Let's just read this also passage right here. And it says, the people complains harshly. Your words have been harsh against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, he answers them, you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed. And for those who do wickedness are even raised up. They even tempt God and go free. So you get the mindset there. Right? God is saying this to His people. And this is what He says. Listen to what He says. Then those who feared the Lord, listen to this now, different group. Those who feared the Lord spoke one to another, and the Lord listened. I mean, the Lord listens. Amen? Aren't you glad He listens? And He heard them. Now, sometimes when my mama tells me something, I could hear her, but I didn't really hear her. You know what I'm saying? I'm just listening. But the Lord listens and He hears. Amen? So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord, who meditate on His name. You know, if you think about the mindset that the group of people before, they were saying, what good is it that we walk before the Lord? What good is it that we labor? So basically, they were laboring. They were trying to do something. How many, every time we try to do something, it never fails? But when we rest in the Lord, He said, take my yoke and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Amen? He said, when we rest in the Lord, we don't have to work. Amen? We rest in Him. We may not understand everything going around us, but we have God's Word. So I'll come back to this. Let's go to St. John, because this has really been on my heart since the last time I ministered here. This is like a continuation for me. Because we need to know who we are in the Lord. Amen. And when we know that we know that we're His. Amen. Seems like sometimes the devil just keeps beating us up. Amen. It does. But there's hope. And there's an answer. And God is the answer. Amen. Let's read St. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, just stop right here for a minute. In the beginning of what? In the beginning of everything. What was first? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I mean, he's really driving the point home here. God and His Word are one and the same. Amen? How many believe God's Word? Amen? I believe God's Word. Well, if I believe God's Word, then I believe God. Now, I'm going to say it like this. As long as we have God's Word, we have God. Amen? You think about this a minute. We have God's Word because we believe. Blessed are you that believe. Amen? He told Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but more blessed is him that has never seen. So I've never seen the Lord personally. Never saw his nail-scarred hands, but I believe. Amen? So we believe and we have God's Word to back it up, don't we? He also says heaven and earth will pass away. But what does he say? My Word will never fail. Okay, so I'm getting to a point here. If we have God in His Word, and we trust God, and we believe God, how many know God to keep His Word? Amen? You know, when I was a young man, I went through a lot of sickness with my mom. And she was dying of incurable disease. And she gave birth to my baby sister, and she weighed 92 pounds. I told Brother Gene about this. When she gave birth, she weighed 72 pounds. My mother was literally a bag of bones. And I was taught from the time I was 5 till I was 9 to take her pulse. And if I felt her cold, I was taught what to expect. So I would carry her from her bed to the living room. I could carry my own mom, grown mom, at 9 years old, from her bed to the couch in the living room. So she was literally no hope. Amen? You understand? She was dying. And they were going to cut one lung out and give her 6 months to live. So she had nothing. My mother was so sick that she had lost her mind. She was in the insane ward. Now, I know some of y'all know about medical stuff probably better than I do. But when a person is so sick, they lose their mind. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That's pretty hopeless. So here my mother was in a hopeless situation. She couldn't even pray for herself. Right? You get my point? But I had a grandmother that could pray. And I mean, when I say pray, I think she prayed all the time. She used to make me nervous just being around her because she was so holy, I told her, you know. But her circumstances in her life caused her to have a prayer life that developed into a continual, always state of prayer. Even when she was doing ordinary things, she was always in a state of prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you're always sick or you're always hurting or you're always going through a struggle, your heart stays broken and you stay heavy. Your spirit's broken. Amen? And when you stay in that place, it's easy, if you've learned, like she did, to lean on the Lord. Amen? So her mind, she was trained always to be in a constant state of prayer. Now, I am the prodigy of her because I learned from my grandmother the importance of prayer. Amen? But I also was the child that experienced the sickness, the sorrow, and the suffering, and the hurt, and the neglect. So I was a broken kid too. Amen? But God miraculously healed my mother of an incurable disease. And we done all the right things with the churches. We laid hands on her. We anointed her with oil. We did all those things. But the only thing that set my mom free was this scripture I'm reading to you right now. One of these scriptures right here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He must have preached that every week. I mean, I thought, what is he going to... He got to preach something different than the same thing every Wednesday. He knew that my mother was sick. My pastor knew she was sick and incapacitated in her mind. We would lay her in a stretcher, and he just preached the Word, preached the Word, preached the Word. And while he was preaching the Word, her spirit was receiving the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. He just kept preaching that faith, preaching faith, keep preaching faith, trust in the Lord, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. For I know the plans that I have for you to prosper you. You see how that just comes up? You know, when the Word of God is in you richly, it just comes up. Amen? So my mother was sitting there for 40 days straight, asleep in a stretcher. And all of a sudden, one night, she sat up just like this. Now, she had done that before, but not like this. And she said, hey, preacher. He just kept preaching. She said, hey, preacher. So I'm being a kid. I'm proud. My mama talking. You got to listen to her, you know? So I go to her, and I heard her voice for the first time in 4 years. She said, help me up. So we had her stand up. She walked up front of that little tent, a tent outside of a beautiful church like this. We had a little tent outside. It was in the tent. And she came up on that side. She said, hey, preacher. He said, well, hello. She says, preacher, Jesus just healed me. She said, he said, he did? She said, yes, he just healed me. He said, well, it's about time. You know, so she laid there in that state of mind, sickness in that frame of mind, literally with no hope. But the Word kept being preached, kept being preached, kept being preached. That continual Word being delivered to her heart, her mind, and soul, day after day after day after day, built faith up. Her spirit got excited in her. She wasn't even in her coherent mind most of the time, but that night she heard the Word of the Lord. And when he was preaching on the man who could not see. And the Lord touched him and he saw twice. He said, he didn't understand why the man was prayed for twice. And he was preaching on why did the Lord heal that man the second time. And the first time he healed him the other way. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But he was preaching on faith, faith, faith. So what I'm getting at is the way that we receive salvation, we receive it from faith. Amen. So faith is the key, if you will, that unlocks the key to the kingdom, right? He said, if you shall have faith as a little child, be like this child, you shall enter in. So faith is the key that opens the door, amen, for salvation. But it also opens the door for all the other blessings that God has for us, amen? So with all this sickness going on and around us and in the church and even in my own family, my home. We need faith. We need faith. I always say the Bible has a prescription for every problem we have. You ever notice that? You're depressed. I mean, read Psalms a lot. I read Psalms a lot when I get discouraged. I read Psalms. For the Psalms, David was always wailing before the Lord. He was always seeking the Lord. So the Word of God is the only thing that we have to stand on. Amen. When we know God, and we know His Word, then we know Him. God and His Word are one and the same. You can't separate God and the Word because they're one and the same. It's important while I'm saying this because I'm going to tell you there's a lot of people that really don't believe the Bible says what it says and mean what it says from Genesis to Revelation. But I believe that every word in here was inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit of God. And God breathed His Spirit on man, and they spoke these words that God gave them the utterance. Amen? Without this, there is no hope in the world. God's Word is the only thing we have to stand on. Amen? You know, when we close our eyes in this life, and we cross over Jordan, as we say, some of us have already seen the other side of Jordan. I've had friends who've passed over and come back. And they said, Brother Allen, I'd rather go on over there. But the Lord wasn't ready for me yet. So, you know, we have hope. And we know that our Redeemer lives. Because God and His Word is one and the same. The other thing I want to point out about God's Word is God always confirms with his word what he says he'll do. Have you ever noticed that? Amen? If God says something, how many know he's going to do it? He's going to keep his word, isn't he? One day I'm riding down the road and the Lord laid this on my heart. Alan, actually I had this conversation. Lord, I need to know where is your word being preached? You know, you ever felt sorry for yourself kind of moments, you know? Where's it being preached? And the Lord says, well, if it was you, it'd be being preached from you. So the Lord led me, Alan, when are you going to believe me? I said, well, Lord, I believe you. He says, no, you have this struggle between you and me. You got this Alan guy. And he and me don't agree. I'm like, what do you mean? You and me don't agree. Well, sure we do. No. When you believe me over you, then we're in one. Because, you know, we all know our own faults. We all know our own failures, our shortcomings, and all that stuff. But how many of you know that what God says trumps anything that we think? Amen? He said, your ways are not my ways, right? Your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are greater than your thoughts, and so are my ways. Amen? When we live in a carnal mind, it is against God. It's in enmity with God. So we live a life because we live a certain life because that's the life that we believe. So I had been a Christian for many years, but I just really wasn't walking in victory. Okay? So I wanted to be in victory. He said, your victory comes when you believe what I say is true, 100%. What I say about you is far greater than any opinion you have of yourself. So you know what? He began to reveal to me his word. For you are I know you before you were born. How many know those scriptures? He says, I had plans for you before you were created. I knew you in your mother's womb. Then he began to reveal to me, my word is greater than your opinion of yourself. And something about when you believe God's word and you trust God's word, then you start to act like God. Amen? Start to live like him, breathe like him. So let's read on here. It said, all things, the word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Everything we have was made by God, right? Well, if he made it all, he can make it again. Amen. We know he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And he tells us that. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Listen to this. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. See, that was me. That was me. God is shining his light in my heart. And it's something about when you really see the truth for yourself for the first time, you see your darkness. You see your shame. You see yourself. Amen? And then you say to yourself, well, if that's me, then how can you be here? Because God says, I've forgiven you. I wrote your slate off. You're able to see me because of the blood of Jesus. We'll read this next few verses. I want to get down to the other part there. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. All things through him might believe. That all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So our very life is the light of God. You know, this abortion stuff going on right now, I'm glad to see things starting to turn around a little bit. Look at the persecution them judges are getting. Now we're starting to value life again. We've always done it. But now we're going to stand up for it. And I've always said when we get back to standing up for God, we stand up for life. These little kids has been slaughtered for all these years. It's just, it has to break the heart of God. Know that all these children are gone. But God gives life to every child, every man that comes in this world. This is so profound right now. Number 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him. and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. This is the part I wanted to get to. But as many as received him, to them gave him, gave the right to become the children of God. Those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And that separates a lot of people right there. Jesus said, you can't come to the Father unless my Father draw you. You get that? Unless he draws us by his Spirit, we can't even come. So if we're here tonight, we're here because the Holy Spirit brought us here. Amen. We're special people. I'm telling you, we really are. Because a lot of people hear the gospel, but they don't feel the tug. They don't feel that Spirit. Because God says, my Spirit shall always strive with man. His Spirit knocks and knocks and knocks. People sit there and just sit right there and sit right there to that Spirit list. They don't feel that tug in their heart no more. We're here tonight because we want to know the Lord. Amen. We want to be closer to him. It's his Spirit that drawed us to him. That's why we're here. We're chosen generation. We are special people. Amen. You are eternally my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I love my family, but you are my eternal brothers and sisters. I mean that. I feel closer to Gene than I feel any, hardly any of my distant relatives. I'm telling you. I feel that me and him have always had that connection. You know, I have it with all my brothers and sisters. But me and Gene, we really have that, like he's my brother. You understand what I'm saying? We have this Spirit in us that is kindred. And it's not of the will of the flesh or man, but it's of God's Spirit. To them received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As sons of God, we know who our Father is. There's no identity problem when you know who your Father is. Amen? So we have his word. Number one, we have his word. We can depend on God and depend on his word because God and his word is one and the same. Amen? So we believe his word. We trust his word. We rely on his word. We believe everything that God says is true. Amen? Then if God says anything in this book that we can have, how many know we can have it? Amen? Listen, if he gave gifts to his children, he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father not give the Holy Spirit to them that he wants to? Amen? He's better than me, and I love to give gifts to my kids all the time. I do. I just love to do something good for them. Well, God's better than me. He's holier. He's God. His desire is greater than mine to give good things to us. It is God's will that he wants to give us. In the world we live in, it's really easy to get caught up and think, well, I don't deserve it. Right? But Jesus paid the price, so we don't have to feel that guilt and that shame. Amen? We're reading number 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh. Remember what Mary said when the angel of the Lord came to her and said, Mary, you shall bring forth a son. And he had that whole conversation with her, and she said, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? This is impossible. And he said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall bring forth this seed. And she said this to the angel, be it so to the handmaiden of the Lord according to the word of the Lord. Read it. In other words, she agreed with the word of God. Amen. She said that the Lord gave her this word. The angel of the Lord gave her a word. Amen. And she said, be it so unto me according to your word. So Mary conceived and obeyed the Lord by believing the Lord, number one. Even though she didn't have a seed, she believed God. And then she said, be it so to me according to your word. So when we read God's word, we have to be the same way. God, be it so unto me according to your word. If it's in here, it's for me. Amen. Every word in here is for me. Every promise in here is for me. Brother Gene tells this testimony all the time where he says, the Lord said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, right? That he owns that verse. Amen. You see, so when we get a word from the Lord, that word becomes flesh. It said the word became flesh. When we get a rhema word from the Lord, it becomes flesh, it becomes alive to us. So when we read the word of God or we hear the word of God, we agree with the word of God and say, be it so unto me, Lord. That's what my mother would say. Be it so unto me, Lord, according to your word. My mother progressed and got completely healed and lived for till 8 years ago. You know, she should have never lived another day other than 6 months after we moved back here to Apopka. But she lived for a long time and she lived for the Lord. God kept his word. And every day she would say, Lord, keep me with your word. Keep me. You keep me by your word. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. When we have God's word to stand on, it's all we need, amen. It ain't sometimes how you feel, because, you know, sometimes we don't feel so churchy, amen. We don't feel so spiritual sometimes, but when we have God's word, it doesn't matter how we feel. It matters what God says. Amen. You know, when I think oftentimes in the Bible, many scriptures come to my mind when I'm talking to you right now. It's hard to keep the preacher out. I want to keep the teacher in, Jesus. But I keep thinking about when Paul and Silas were thrown in that jail and they were beat. I bet the stripes on their back were real and the rips and tears on their back, the pain was real. Amen. And all of a sudden, they begin to sing praises to the Lord. Something about when we get in our most darkest hour, if we would just start praising the Lord. It ain't going to be for everybody to see. We just get to our quiet place and say, Lord, I'm just going to start praising you today. Start praising the Lord. Sing a song in your heart and your mind. And you start singing out. Say, Lord, I'm just going to praise you. That's what Paul and Silas were doing in prison. They were singing praises in spite of their pain. Their suffering. They had just been beaten to a pulp. It's always something about God does something miraculous when we expect it. They didn't know how they was going to get out of there, but they knew God was going to make a way. And not only did God set Paul and Silas free, I mean, you know, he set everybody in that prison free. It said all the bars came open, all the doors came open. Amen. So when we start singing praises and giving God the glory and the honor, we're saying when we say praise, Lord, I trust your word. I believe in you today. I'm confessing to you in my mouth that you are the God that you say you are. When we start doing that, we bring heaven down. When we start praying and worshiping the Lord, we create an atmosphere around us that is different. That is different. Sometimes my best moments is when I'm by myself in my car, riding down the road and just talking to Jesus. Amen. The atmosphere in that car changes and it feels electrified. It's when he said, he inhabits the praises of his people. See, there's that word again. The word of God keeps coming out. He said, he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen? We're his people, aren't we? So when we praise the Lord, we get to worship the Lord. We say his word back to him. We remind God of his word. Lord, your word says. Your word says. Your word says. Your word says. And when we continually give God back his word, we give honor to God when we honor his word. When we speak God's word, God gets glory. When we manifest God's word, we're saying, God, I agree with you. But your word says this. The enemy says that, but your word says this. The moment we start quoting scripture, the moment we start meditating on scripture, the moment we start putting that word in our heart, we start speaking out of our mouth, the Bible says life and death is in the tongue. You know, I remember a time when my mother couldn't say a word hardly. But let me tell you, when the Lord healed my mom, you couldn't shut her up. She just wanted to sing all the time. She just wanted to praise all the time. She'd been bound up and sick in the hospital for years. And when she finally got set free, you couldn't shut her up. She made my dad mad with her. Because she was free from being sick and being bound. So it wasn't just that she was a loudmouth Pentecostal person. She really was joyful in her heart because she had come from death to life. And we who are in Christ, I mean, no, we've been passed from death to life. Amen? Death, listen, we go through death, but death doesn't keep us. Amen? It doesn't keep us, people. Death is just a place of changing clothes, I always say. When this mortal will put on immortality, then will be said, death is swallowed up in victory. God said to Jesus, sit thou on my right side, son, till I make your enemies your footstool. Until death, hell, and the grave will be swallowed up. One day, Christians, death will be no more, period. For us and for others too, whether they know God or not. It said one day when he comes, they're going to cry for the rocks of the mountains and death's going to flee. Think about that. What kind of pain are they going to be in to beg for death to come? And we're going to be in victory and they're going to be in despair. We might be suffering now. We might go through some tough times. We might have some sickness come our way. But how many of you know we can tell the devil to get out? Amen. Just because sickness comes doesn't mean we're not obedient to God or that we've done something wrong. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked. That must mean there's something we got to avoid, amen? That must mean there's the enemy out there trying to attack us, amen? And you don't put on armor unless you're ready to go do battle. So we have to assume the role that we got to be like soldiers in God's army. And so the Bible says the Word of God is a sword, right? If we use our opinions or our own ideas, that Word is sharp, but it's not as sharp as God's Word. It says, for the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. See, I remember a time when my tongue was sharp. It would hurt my wife's feelings. Just ask her. She'll tell you, but them young days, she put up with me. So the Lord sanctified my tongue. Understand? I didn't do it. He had to sanctify it. He sanctifies. The Bible says, no man can tame the tongue. Only God can. Amen? This is why I'm telling you, this word is so powerful, because when we speak God's word, that sword comes out. And when we quote God's scriptures, when we say God's word, the enemy doesn't want to hear it. Amen? But when we say, I remember when I was a little kid, my grandma always told me, Alan, just say God's word. I know what she was talking about. Little kid. These boys are picking on me at school. She said, don't you fight them. I mean it. Don't you do that. Because I had a temper. She said, you quote God's word. I love saying this. It's funny, but it's true. The only verse I knew was Jesus wept. I kept saying, Jesus wept, Jesus wept. Them boys looked at me like crazy, like, what's he saying? He's saying Jesus well. You know, they ran away. They must have thought I was crazy. It don't matter. It worked anyway, right? The Word of God is quick, sharp, and powerful. Amen? There's no weapon formed against the Word of God that will prosper. When the enemy says something, you say, God said this. When Satan came to Jesus, he said, it is written. Didn't you say it? So he is our example. When we start proclaiming the Word of God out of our mouth, the enemy knows immediately the battle is over. When we're feeling sick, ain't nothing wrong with having prayer service and praying for one another and having prayer requests. Amen. We need to do this. But when we pray, we need to expect God to keep His Word and heal us. Amen. What's wrong with that? Is it wrong to ask God to heal us and not expect it? That's kind of like going to my cupboard and say, Dad, I wish I had something to eat. Well, I got groceries in there. Yeah, I know, but I don't think I need to reach up there and get them. What? You're my kid. You're my child. You can go to my house, be hungry, and the cupboard's plenty, and you ain't going to get nothing out. Really? That's how it is with God. We need to expect when we pray that He's going to hear our prayer. Amen? And that He is going to answer. Yeah, listen. If He saved me when I was lost, and He loved me before I knew Him, and now that I profess that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, amen, and I tell you amongst all my brothers and sisters that I love the Lord and I appreciate His saving my soul, but before, I didn't know Him. But He loved me before I knew Him, amen. If He loved me before I knew Him, how much more does He love me now that I appreciate Him, amen? So we appreciate the Lord saving us and bringing us back. But we also can truly stand before the Lord and say, we can go before the throne of God. It says, go before God's throne with boldness. Amen? Not that we are great or that we are something else, but we have an expectation because we know we're His kids. Amen? So when Gene was up here praying, one of God was saying, amen, amen, amen. Lord, heal him. Lord, heal him. Lord, heal him. Amen? When we agree, it says if two or three agree on anything, touching one thing, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Didn't he say that? Well, if he said it, he must mean it. Amen? Then I agree. Do you agree with God? I agree with God. So when we join hands tonight and we pray, we're going to pray one more time. Dismiss. We're going to agree together that everybody's healed. We're going to agree together everybody's going to get better. Amen? I mean, God's going to keep his word. Listen, I can't keep every little ordinance that's in this book. No man can. Only one man did. And his name was Jesus. And it says he is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. Always, always pleading our case. Isn't he? He's always on our side, ain't he? When Stephen was being stoned, I'll never forget this. When Stephen was being stoned for preaching the truth, preaching the gospel, he said, he looked up, he said, I saw heaven open. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Can you say that? Standing. He was standing there. So if he's standing there for Stephen, he's standing there for us. Amen. So I love you. You're my brothers and sisters. You know, when my wife is hurting, her leg is hurting, I hurt. Amen? When our loved ones hurt, I hurt. We hurt. So when I hear everyone's sick, this is not good. We got to get better. Amen? We're the body of Christ. We do good things for the Lord. Amen? Don't we around here? Well, we need to be healed. We can do more things for the Lord. Right? We need to be whole. Amen? So before we close, we're going to get around together and all hold hands. We're going to agree. I mean, we're going to do this. We're going to agree together that what we've asked for is going to happen tonight. Amen? According to God's word, we're going to agree. Put two together, we agree. We're all going to be healed. Amen? I mean, he's going to do it. Amen? He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Okay? We want recovery. Amen? So Pastor Chris called me today and I said, I would be loved to be there tonight. And I'm glad to be back here tonight. This is where I'm supposed to be. Amen? How many of you know I feel comfortable in this place? It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit living in me. Amen. You can see. It's not Alan. It's the God in Alan. Amen. It's the boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us to speak His word and speak the truth. When you speak the truth, you ain't got to be ashamed. You ain't got to be afraid. And I ain't sticking up for Alan. I'm sticking up for him. Amen. And he's sticking up for us. Man, I miss my old pastor. I miss his wife. I miss my fellowship of my old pastor and friends. I miss them. Because we learned how to walk together in the Lord. Amen? We knew how to call each other on the phone and say, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah, let's pray for her right now. We did it all the time. We really were a family like you guys are right here. So I feel at home. Because we are the family of God, amen. And when one of my kids are sick, it makes me tenderhearted, amen. And so I feel the Holy Spirit tonight saying, let's feel that knit, amen. Let's all stand right here together. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray for one another. Let's just hold hands. Come on, Brother Gene. Thank you, Jesus. The devil don't like it when we join hands together. I'll sing a song about this. I'll sing a song about this. We'll do this again. Come on, Sister Sally. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Come on, get a hold of hands. Get in a circle here. Thank you, Jesus. We're laying hands on the sick right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for our church family. Lord, we thank you for each other. We need each other. Holy Spirit, you feel the the crying of the heart, the hearts and the minds that want to be whole. We can praise you and worship you and do your business here in your kingdom, Lord. You brought us to this place. Lord, you want to use us for your glory, Lord. And God, we come together and we all agree on your word is the truth. And we speak your word right now, Lord. We remind you, God, you said your word is the truth. We speak your truth right now, Lord. You said we bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, we bind the hand of the enemy right now. We rebuke him. It's coming to all the homes and the children in this family and this church, Lord. We bind the hand of the enemy. And Lord, we loosen your Holy Spirit. We loosen your healing virtue. We loosen the Spirit of God to come and touch our lives. And the Spirit of God and the anointing of God breaks the yoke. We break the yoke and the bondage, the attack of Satan. We put on the shield of faith right now where we speak the word of God to the enemy. You cannot have us. You cannot take us. We are God's children. We belong to him. And Satan, you are a liar and the father of God. We speak your truth. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters right now. You said, love ye one another as I have loved you. No greater love had this than any man lay his life down for them. And you laid your life down for us. And Lord, we feel the pain. I feel the anguish and the hurt and the pain of each other tonight. My brother Gene, Lord, in his coffin. Lord, my heart goes out to each and every one tonight. And your spirit does too. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for my little brothers and sisters. And we hold them up to you, Jesus. As Stephen said, I see Jesus standing up at the right hand of the Father. And Jesus, I see you right now in the Spirit standing up. You said, we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. And eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that you have prepared for us, but you revealed it by your Spirit. And Father, I thank you tonight. Your word is the truth. We speak your word. We thank you for healing. Bless Pastor Chris and his family. Jesus, we pray for every family in this church. Devil, you leave us alone in Jesus' name. It is written. It is written. God, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And God, we live on your word tonight. It is bread to our soul. And we're going to repeat your word and keep your word and hang it over the doorpost of our heart. We thank you tonight, Jesus, for this opportunity. Bless my little sisters and brothers, Lord. Speak healing and health and happiness to their homes and their loved ones and everyone connected to them. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Come here. Amen. I feel for you.